Good morning, sir. We're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy for your revocation hearing. And once again, would you state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Jeremy Dwayne Maxwell, ADC number 235806.
Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy as stated for your revocation hearing, and according to information we have, you were notified of this hearing back on May 16th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes.
And on there stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room this morning. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you cannot see us because we're doing this by telephone, but there are four board members participating in the hearing today.
Understood.
And they are the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair. We also have in the room with us today Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of the day. Mr. Maxwell and Mr. Westby, both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth will help you guard and do you so affirm.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Westby, Mr. Maxwell has indicated you have one allegation on your warrant. I'm going to read it, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false? And it reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3. As demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at TLC 54 West 7th Avenue in Mesa, Arizona, on or about December 13, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you were under stronger from supervision. So is that true or false?
I left the halfway house, but how it says on the piece of paper, LOHO, I'm assuming that that says left on his own, but if you can talk to Jerry Hoffman, he's the one that runs the halfway house there. I was kicked out of the halfway house by Jerry Hoffman because of a documentation that I didn't feel comfortable signing. He informed me that I had 10 minutes to get off the property.
Okay, if we go into phase two, you can explain all that, but right now we just need to know whether this... whether that is true or false. And
well, I left the halfway house, so I have to say true, okay. But it's not on the conditions that's stated, though.
But you will have an opportunity to explain all of that to the board,
okay.
Once we go into phase two. Therefore, based upon the admission of Mr. Maxwell, I'm going to move that he violated terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Agreed.
Okay, a motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Now, sir, we're going to prepare to go into phase two of your hearing. Now, phase two is very important because at the end of phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or not. However, to begin phase two, we're going to receive some background information on you from the Department of Correction. We'll ask that you remain quiet, and then we're going to come back and talk with you, sir, and you can explain everything to the board at that time. So at this time, Mr. Westby, would you be kind enough, sir, to give us some background information?
Yes. On December 11th, 2017, Mr. Maxwell was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 16th, 2018 by Phoenix PD. The subject was involved in a vehicle hit and run from police. There were no charges filed. He was back in DOC custody April 16th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of July 16th, 2018, 124 abscond days. Criminal conviction, 2016, drug paraphernalia, 6 months. 2016, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years. His prior convictions in 2008, misconduct involving weapons, 2.5 years. 2008, theft, 1 year. This is his second term in DOC, CUIR score 4-4, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs, alcohol, and violence noted. Other arrests, 2006, shoplifting, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, armed robbery, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. I'm sorry. I'm upset with the paper here. The community discord is a G3B5.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. And we are back to you, Mr. Maxwell. Based on information we have, and you can explain all this to us, that initially when you were released, you were to go to changes there in Mesa, and then to TLC, and then at TLC, eventually you were discharged, and according to information we have, you leaving the property and failing to return to the program on December 13, 2017. And at that time, that was the last address known. So you've got to explain before we went into phase two what was going on as it related to your leaving, I believe, TLC. So what happened, sir?
Ivan Godinez informed me to try to establish residence at Changes. I tried to establish residence at Changes. I was denied because I didn't have the initial intake fee of $250 or whatever it was. So I went back to her, and we worked it out for me to go to TLC. They told me that I would be accepted without the payment, the initial payment. And that's, I believe, $250 a week. And I was there for a few days, and I was signing paperwork. We were finishing my enrollment in TLC, and there was a document stating that if I didn't find a job in 3 days, that I would have to be stuck working around their complex doing whatever they wanted, but it wouldn't put any money in my pocket. It would just simply pay for my weekly rent. So as far as food, hygiene, clothes, and mind you, they took all of my clothes as soon as I got there. I'm wearing, I don't know whose clothes I have on my back, you know, and I just didn't feel comfortable signing that documentation because I know I can go out there and get a good job. As of right now, when I was arrested, I was a certified auto glass technician at a car wash. I have pay stubs. You know, I just got an apartment. Like, I was doing good. I didn't fall into any criminal activity. But like I said, getting back to the point, I was kicked out of TLC. If there's any way that you can talk to Jeffrey Hoffman, he can verify this. Instead of saying that I left on my own, he can reiterate exactly what happened. I also, when he told me that I had 10 minutes to evacuate the property or he was going to have police escort me off, that would have put me in violation just right there, police contact. So I called my PO. I believe it was a weekend or something, and she didn't answer. I left her a message letting her know that I was being kicked out of the halfway house. She can verify that. And now all of a sudden, I've absconded. You kicked me out of the program.
Okay, hold on one moment. We're going to take some testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we'll be back to you, sir. Honorable Mr. Westby, sir.
Yes, I'm reviewing the criminal notes from Officer Lopez, and the reason why Mr. Maxwell absconded is when he came in and he had his contact visit with her, his next scheduled contact visit that he was told that he needed to come back and see her was on December 21st, 2017. Okay, now, he may have departed on December 13th, but she was not aware of that until he missed his contact visit. He failed to come in and report on December 21st, 2017 as directed. So in an attempt to locate the offender, she called TLC and spoke to the manager, Jerry, who reported that he had left on December 13th. So Mr. Maxwell failed to, he may have left a message, there was no notation on here that he did, but he failed to come in and have his contact, so he was actually avoiding his assigned parole officer by not maintaining contact and reporting as he should have. That's when the warrant was written.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for that information, sir. And I'm going to move on to Mr. Maxwell. You said you were employed, we don't show that employment, but you were employed there with the
Jackson Car Wash. I was a certified auto glass technician.
Okay, well, we're glad that you had employment. That's always a positive. We also show that you refer to a task for the random drug test, but you did not produce a UA sample while you were on supervision. You never get around to doing the UA, sir?
I mean, everything was going fast. You know, I was succeeding. I was progressing at a rapid rate. I mean, I got out. I didn't have anything to my name. You know, all of a sudden I'm working. I was able to obtain a car. I was able to obtain a apartment, and I was with my kids. Like everything else, I'm not gonna lie. Everything else just left my mind.
Okay, sir. I'm just trying to figure out what happened here. So, but why didn't you, or maybe you did, let me put it this way, did you stay in contact for like 124 days, did you stay in contact with your parole officers, sir?
A few times until after I got kicked out of the halfway house. Because then I didn't know what I was gonna do. I was basically homeless. Like I was basically homeless for damn near a week.
Well, why didn't you go to your parole officer and see if she would be helpful to you, sir, or her supervisor?
I have no legitimate answer for that. Like I said, I just got out of prison. You know, I got all this weighing on me, my kids. I just got kicked out of the only place that put a roof over my head. So, like, I was literally homeless for a week. My son's mother ended up finding me, and that's how all that happened. She helped me get a phone. I got on Indeed. I started filling out all kind of applications. I started getting all kind of calls. I'm taking all kind of interviews. And when I finally got the job as a certified autograph technician, like Jackson's Car Wash, you literally have to, you're expected to be at every location every week. And I'm talking about Paradise Valley, Scottsdale. Like I literally have to be at every location every week. So like my plate was too full to even realize that, dude, you're messing up right now. You're not, you know what I mean? So all I can say is it was just an honest mistake. It wasn't like I was trying to, you know, avoid anything. I wasn't doing anything. I don't do drugs. So it was just an honest mistake. I was too busy progressing at a rapid rate. Like, I mean, I have check stubs at the house that I can provide, you know. That's pretty much the only thing I can say in defense of myself.
Okay, sir. Well, this time I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson has questions for you at this time, sir.
Mr. Maxwell, you said you got kicked out of the programs, sir.
Correct.
What was the documentation you didn't want to sign, sir?
It stated that if I didn't find a job in 3 days, that I would pretty much be stuck working for them around the complex, but it wouldn't put any money in my pocket. Like I would still be struggling. All it would do is take care of my rent for the week. And to me, that establishment is just a mechanism for failure in the first place. Like, however you guys want to put it, TLC is supposed to be an establishment to help you grow, to better you. No, that establishment is a mechanism for failure. If you go through your documentation and you see anybody that you sent to TLC or anybody that's been kicked out or anybody that's absconded from TLC, those are all drug addicts running that establishment. Those are all drug addicts running that establishment. Whether you guys want to believe it or not, all you guys have to do is look into it. Because that's what I plan on doing, because they put me here for nothing. You guys kicked me out of this establishment, and then you wrote a documentation saying that I left on my own? That establishment is a mechanism for failure, run by drug addicts. That's how I see it. I've seen it from my own eyes, so there's no deterring me from that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? I just want to make one thing very clear, because you said it, I think, a couple of times or three or four times. So you said that you guys have done that to you. I'm assuming when you say you guys, you're talking about the Board of Executive Clemency, the...
No. I'm sorry to word it like that. I'm talking about PLC.
Okay. But the Board of Executive Clemency did not send you to TLC, and this board has nothing to do with TLC.
Yes, understood.
That was on the record. I don't want us to be mixed up with thinking that we're part of TLC.
No, not at all. That's understood. That's clear.
Okay. Board members, any further questions at this time for Mr. Maxwell? I don't hear any further questions at this time for Mr. Maxwell. Mr. Maxwell, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision whether to revoke your community supervision or not. So at this time, sir, anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I mean, I have a 3-year-old daughter out there. My son just turned 7, you know. Like I said, I just got an apartment. It was paid up for 3 months. I had a good job out there. I really didn't need to be here. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going to go into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet, but remain on the phone. Because here in the state of Arizona, we operate under the open meeting laws. You can hear everything that we're going to say, and this will be the first time that we, the four board members present today, will have had an opportunity to discuss your case, sir. So at this time, the board is going into discussion. The board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation for Mr. Maxwell. He had two incidents as it relates to halfway houses. It just didn't work out from a fine. It seemed to me from a financial standpoint, I was initially at Changes. They wanted money up front, rent up front, lease fee, or whatever you call it, up front. Then the same thing happened at TLC. And he felt that he made a decision, and who am I to... who said it was the right decision or wrong decision, but he made a decision that he was not going to sign the documents there at TLC to stay at TLC because he felt that all of the resources were going towards his rent or lease of the living there. Unfortunately, this is a very unfortunate situation, but this is just one of those that, in my opinion, that this board has no control. He suspended for just a short period of time while he was, it wasn't a short period of time, 124 days. And I just can't overlook that. But I'm prepared to listen to other board members who might see it different or who might want to make further discussion for Mr. Maxwell. Okay, I don't see anything else at this time. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be to find, based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W0192A, that Mr. Maxwell did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, in as much as he absconded for 124 days. He did have an accident that involved the police department. In addition to that, he based on information that we see, that he did not stay in contact with his parole officer. I know he was confused with getting out, but that's the most important thing, is to always be in contact with the parole officer. Therefore, my motion is to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Maxwell, ADC number 235806, and that is my motion to revoke.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Corrales, agreed by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision is revoked. However, you will be out on July 16th. That's a little more than a month from there. You won't have to report to a parole officer. You can take care of your son and your daughter and the rest of your family. We wish you the best, and we hope to never have the opportunity to speak with you again in Orange. Thank you so very much, and your hearing is over, sir. If you'd be kind enough to put the CO3 back on the phone, we would appreciate it, sir.